You're listening to an exclusive presentation of XNX Sports Radio.
Welcome into our show, XNX Sports Radio, here on a lovely Friday. Right, what is it, November 15th?
November 15th is today.
We're halfway through November. We're almost done with this year. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And then, dude, I don't even want to say it. But
flying by, yeah.
And it's Christmas. It's like, what in the world, right? Mm-hmm. But this year has definitely flown by. We're heading into week 11 now of the NFL. The season is flying by. My goodness. There was a game last night.
There was, yeah.
And I guess we can talk about some of the play,
yep.
Right? But there's some other things that really went down that I think we're really going to try to jump into. So, listen, so thanks for joining us. We're going to talk a little bit about last night's game. We'll recap that real quick. We'll talk about the debacle. Okay, we'll do some starts and sits for this weekend, and we'll run down about four or five games as well. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, and we're back. Once again, thanks for joining our show. As always, follow us on Twitter, XNX Radio 1. That's XNX Radio and the number 1. Follow us. We'll follow back. Thanks for those who've been following and sending us messages and dropping comments and whatnot. We appreciate the love. So, Jake, man, listen. So, there was a game last night, right? Yeah. The Browns and the Steelers, and a lot went down. A lot went down that wasn't even football.
Right.
Let's put it that way. I guess the biggest story about this is not that the Browns won 21-7, but the scuffle, the fight, if you want to say however you want. I don't even know what you would call it, the brawl, I guess.
Brawl, yeah. Definitely.
The brawl. We'll take between the Browns and the Steelers towards the end of the game there. I'll let you lead into this if you want to take the lead into this, and then I'll jump in. So go right ahead with this.
All right. So just a quick recap if you didn't see the video or stay up for the game. So there's a play. It was a pass play, so there was a snap right to Mason Rudolph. Miles Garrett came around the corner. Mason Rudolph dumped it off. Garrett ended up hitting Rudolph and dragged him to the ground. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little late. Looked kind of clean to me. That wasn't the problem. The problem happened on the ground. Looked like Rudolph was clawing at Garrett's helmet, maybe pushing it up a little bit.
Trying
Garrett
to get him off him.
Yeah, yeah. And then Garrett ripped the helmet off by the face mask of Rudolph's head. Lineman interjected, and Garrett swung the helmet pretty hard. Hit Rudolph in the top of the head. There was a scuffle. A Browns player came from behind and took out Rudolph while he had no helmet on, not even looking at him. Pouncey was throwing punches at Garrett and kicking him, and it was a disaster.
Right.
Nothing you really like to see in football. As a result, Garrett was suspended indefinitely. Mike Pouncey was suspended, what, three games?
Three games.
And then the D-lineman on the Browns,
sounds like Obi-Wan Kenobi, but it's not.
Obi-Wan Kenobi suspended one game.
Yeah, that's not his name. I'll get the proper name here. Larry Ogunjobi suspended for a game.
One game. Yep.
I guess he went after
Rudolph,
pushed him, knocked him back down onto the ground. He had no helmet on. So I'm looking at a picture of this, and this is ugly. This is ugly in so many different ways. The first thing that strikes me, so first of all, I'm going to take it back to just the game a little bit. This was a vicious game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's some injuries in this game. So James Conner got hurt. I didn't really see the play that he got hurt on. And it wasn't, it was just a normal football play,
right,
from my understanding. So we've talked about Conner being kind of fragile as it was.
Nicked up and yeah.
Juju gets hurt. He takes two helmets today.
Two helmets, yeah.
Okay. If you look at that, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be some fines for that.
Should be.
There should have been some flags, and there weren't.
Yep.
But knocks him out of the game. I mean, he immediately went down, right?
Then Deontay Johnson. Took a hit to the helmet.
Exactly.
Dropped the ball. Defender could have held up. Randall could have held up. Didn't. Came in with the crown of his helmet. And
knocked him right out. Pretty much.
Bleeding from the ear.
Yeah, bleeding from the ear as they took the helmet off and
vicious
brought him to the tent. Very vicious hit. We've seen Myles Garrett get fined and flagged for, you know,
against
roughing
the Jets,
calls and personal
several roughing
fouls.
The passers, yep.
So we've already seen this with this team, mm-hmm. right? This is coaching. This stems from coaching. The way this team is playing, this is not something, you know, they've been sloppy. They're reckless with their emotions. Mm. They have no self-control.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was just stemming. This is just something that's been over and over again. And this, and you see it through all the players. And the thing about emotions, the thing about attitudes, that is a direct reflection of leadership. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it makes me wonder, if I'm the owner of this team, mm-hmm. if I'm the owner of these Browns, I'm going straight to the head coach. I'm going straight to the GM. I'm like, listen, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Okay. This is not the type, this is not the brand that we're trying to put out there. All right. I would be ashamed. Myles Garrett, if I'm a Browns fan, I want nothing to do with him.
Right.
I don't even want him wearing a Browns t-shirt. Nothing at all. No, nothing. I want him to do nothing with the team. Well, you know, not even to be represented in any way until this whole thing gets cleared up. You know, and I don't know if it does or it doesn't. Now, obviously, I get it.
I think the closest he's going to get to wearing a Browns uniform again is maybe UPS.
Yeah, listen, you might be right. This is ugly. Looking at this picture, man, and it's so, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's all over the internet. It's all over Twitter. It's all over the TV. And, you know, just this still shot with him coming down with the helmet. And it bouncing off of Mason Rudolph's head. It's just like mind-boggling.
So I understand. So I understand this is a sport. I understand the heat of the moment. I get it. I mean, I don't respect what he did, but I get it was heated. I get he had some. But what do you think his intentions were hitting that helmet?
To injure him,
right?
There's no explanation for that.
But if you watch the video, the helmet hits him. The part of the helmet that hit him is the one you put your head in.
Right.
So it wasn't the crown. But if you saw how hard he came down, if that was the crown of the helmet that hit him, he could have died.
No.
He could have been killed.
Even with this part of it, I'm not saying, look, dude, his intent, you cannot tell me there was no, like, what are you thinking?
Dude, that could be attempted murder. What? Like, if you came down, like, he could be disabled.
It's absolutely brain damage. I don't care who it is, anyone. And I know people, oh, that's going too far. But it's not too far. Where do you take a stand?
His life was in danger there. His life was in danger.
The helmet is used to protect your head, not to injure your head.
I mean, you sub that out with a baseball bat, it doesn't matter. It's still, it's brain damage.
Listen. I don't disagree at all. This is garbage. It's garbage. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
It's upsetting. This is not the football that I watched. And I grew up in a different era. Mm. It was a lot rougher. All right. Hits were a lot more violent. Things like that. Things were a lot more lax when it came to the rules. But this was still not one thing that you, like, that's just a code you do not do. You don't take... I don't get it.
But I don't understand why he even did. They're winning the game. Why would you even care if he said something to you?
Because he has no control. That's my point.
Then that person should not be in the league if he's got no control.
This is where, like I said, if I'm the owner of the Browns, I go directly to the coaching staff. I go directly to the general manager, directly to them, because this is their responsibility. There's no reason why this should ever have gotten this way.
I agree.
And why any reason why he would feel that it was okay to act this way. You look at the hits that were going on during the day, during the last night. Listen, this is a national game. This is on national TV, a Thursday night game. Everyone is seeing this.
Right.
Okay. There's no escaping this. This is not like it was a 1 o'clock game, okay, on a Sunday that maybe the regional guys would get it, you know, and things like that, and that's it. No. The entire world got to watch this unfold, and the NFL was smeared.
I agree. This. But listen, so the Browns, so they had several penalties, right? Rough, Myles Garrett, and then the two hits on Juju, and then the one on Deontay Johnson, right?
Yep.
And then how about last week or the week before, Jermaine Whitehead with his lash out?
Correct.
Like, the Browns are really in some turmoil right now.
My point, exactly to
it's
what
I'm saying.
It's
definitely a culture
this
thing.
Is
I agree 100%.
That needs to be corrected from the top down. Mm-hmm. And if I'm the owner, I'm coming in there and I'm giving the ultimatum. You either fix this or you're gone.
And if
I'm the coaches and I'm that, I'm gathering all the players together. I'm getting everybody together in the room. And I'm telling you, look, you're either acting this way or you're gone. There's no room for it. There's no room for it whatsoever. You don't act this way. There's a difference between having a rough and tough attitude and then and being professional about it.
Right.
Right. And then the opposite of that, having this rough and tough and then being a quote unquote thug. And I don't even like using that word.
Right.
Okay. But you know what? This was thug like. All right. You don't act this way. You're a professional. Mm. You're a professional athlete. You have kids wearing your jersey. You have people looking up to you. And this is what you do on the national stage. It's an embarrassment. He should be ashamed of himself. He should not be allowed to play football. You know, his suspension couldn't be enough. The rest of this year through the playoffs is fine. I don't care if he's suspended for the entire year next year as well.
Right.
It's got to be an example.
This should hold up. There's no way you let this guy back in the league.
You have to set this in. Now, there's others that were involved. Pouncey, like you said, was suspended for 3 days.
But honestly, I don't think he should be suspended. I mean, but you let your quarterback get hit in the top of the helmet.
So I get that. No.
You gotta restrain the guy.
I thought maybe the 3 days was. I expected a suspension. I thought maybe a day.
Obviously, you threw a punch. That's a game suspension.
Yeah, you know, right. a game at least, like Obi-Wan over there.
Yeah.
But he got 3 days. To me, I think that's a little high, but I get it.
Mm.
Okay, the NFL stepping in and, you know, taking charge of this right from the beginning. And I have no problems with what they're going to do.
I think the cheap shot on Mason Rudolph was worse than...
Actually, you know, it was. That was real cowardly. Like, I don't even understand what the point behind that was.
Dude's got his helmet out, not even looking at you. You're not even involved in the original scruff. Right. Why would you come in and deck that?
Exactly.
Guy?
And, he just looked like an idiot for doing that. But, look, ugly. Very ugly.
Mm.
Very unfortunate.
And, in fact, I actually gained a lot more respect for Marquise Pouncey. You know,
well, I mean, look, Marquise Pouncey, he's a good player.
He is.
He's a stand-up guy. Look,
for sure.
I don't have a problem with he came to his quarterback's defense.
Right.
The guy didn't have a helmet on, and there he is, you know, he's getting struck. So I get that. I do understand that. I think the 3 games is a little steep.
Right.
But there has to be a suspension. Because at the same time, you know, you can go to your quarterback's defense by just grabbing onto the guy, holding him down without having to throw any punches or kicks, too.
For
now,
sure.
I get the emotion behind it. He could completely went, you know, off the wall, took his helmet off and started swinging too.
Right.
He didn't. He restrained himself after he, you know.
He threw a couple punches.
Right, he did.
And he kind of missed on a kick. But, I mean, punching a guy who is in full pads really does no damage.
I hear you.
I get the intent. Throwing a punch is to hurt someone. I get that. But, I mean, if he's fully protected, I mean, it's minimal damage.
He probably
didn't even feel it.
Yeah, no. You know? Right, right.
So I think 3 games is a little
three rough. Games is a little steep, I think, on that dude. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. He may appeal that. They may, you know, look at he may just it may just be.
I'm okay with one. But
yeah, I'm okay with the game as well too. But yeah, now there was a game.
Yeah.
And getting to the game. Let's talk about it there a bit. So, 21-7, the Browns win. Mayfield actually had a decent game.
Yeah.
Threw for 2 touchdowns, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then a touchdown on the ground.
And he didn't turn the ball over.
He didn't. So, it was a pretty clean game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fantasy-wise, you're talking almost 22 points, 21.82 points.
Yeah.
So, pretty solid. The running game wasn't really what it was. The Steelers' defense is a lot tighter there. So, but Nick Chubb, 27 carries, only with 92 yards. You're looking at about 10 points there, fantasy-wise. But 27 carries is a lot of touches, right?
Yeah.
92 yards. 6 carries for Kareem Hunt with 12 yards, but he also caught 6 passes for 46 yards. So
right.
That's where
Kareem Hunt is now on 55% of the snaps.
Yeah. What do
you think about that?
Listen,
they're using a lot of 2-back sets, which they should with a dynamic duo like that.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
I don't disagree. I think that's something there that we were kind of expecting. At first, it was kind of the unknown. What are you going to get, right? When he comes back from his suspension, but you know, he's fitting right in. Mm-hmm. But that, again, so you know, there's going to be a lot that this team needs to go through now. There's a gut check. Each player's going to have to look in the mirror. And they're going to have to figure out, why am I here and what am I doing?
Right.
Okay. This is a stain on their organization. And it's not a pretty one. And it's not one that's going to get, you know, swept away or wiped up fairly quickly either. So, you know, they're definitely going to have to step in there and clean that up. So, Jarvis Landry, decent game, right? 4 catches, 43 yards and a touchdown. He looked good.
He did.
He looked good.
Mm-hmm.
OBJ looked pretty solid as well, too. 4 catches for 60 yards.
Yep.
So, not a bad game overall.
Carlson, shout out Carlson.
Yeah. First touchdown. Oh, yeah, first touchdown. That's rookie, right. Yeah. That's right, for the rookie. Good job there. But, hey, not a bad game, okay, I mean, for the Browns.
No.
Decent for the Browns. On the Steelers, on the other hand, Mason Rudolph looked a mess.
Terrible.
He could not get comfortable. He had 4 interceptions. A total mess. I don't know. I don't know if that's the guy or not for the future for them. I don't know what their plan is with him, but he just did not look comfortable. Look, they couldn't – And we get it. They have trouble. They couldn't stop this forefront.
I mean, it doesn't help when 2 receivers go down. Your starting running back goes down. He was throwing a practice squad players. Listen,
he absolutely was. Samuels looked horrible.
Yeah.
Connor only had 5 carries, man, and he got hurt and then caught the ball for 6 yards. And then, you know, his day was done. Washington, 3 catches, 49 yards. Juju got injured after 21 yards. Deontay Johnson injured after 17 yards. You've seen them trying to go out. They targeted Holton 7 times. Like they've seen them trying to go deep several times. They just couldn't connect. They couldn't connect there at all. Rudolph wasn't getting the time he needed to actually step into his throws properly. So it was a pretty rough night for the Steelers offense altogether. So that was the game, the actual game, in the nutshell. You know, the Browns pretty much control their destiny. But again, these teams, they play in another, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's going to be WWE SmackDown versus Raw that day.
We'll see what happens. They're definitely going to have to clean some things up there. Yeah. So, listen, a little bit more into news and notes here. We're talking about there's some, other than Connor, Juju, and Johnson, the injuries. We had some injuries that we're hearing about today. Alshon Jeffrey is going to be out. Yeah. George Kittle is going to be out.
Right.
Adam Thielen has been reported out. Matt Stafford looks like he's not going to be playing. Austin Hooper. Deontay Freeman. Devontae Freeman. Yeah, thank you. This is huge. I mean, these are some – and this time of year as well.
Pick and waiver wire too. Yeah. There's a waiver, lot of –
exactly. You know, so you got these injuries and add that with, you know, those who you have on bye week, right? And then just the waiver pickings are very, very – thin as they are. This late in the season, these type of injuries, right when fantasy teams are trying to make that playoff run.
Right.
So it's pretty tough. So put it this way. Feel good about yourself if you're in a situation to turn your season around right now to make the playoffs and you're able to do it with waiver wire pickups and drops and ads and all that stuff. If you're able to do it, good on you, man.
Because chances are the people you're playing are struggling right now with injuries. So
listen, and Jake, you talked about it. You mentioned it. You know, if you got a few extra roster spots on your bench there that you can just grab some people and your opponent hasn't grabbed let's just say a quarterback, for instance. Yeah. There's a couple there in waiver. Grab them. Pick them up. Don't allow them to grab them because you don't want to be the one to lose to them.
Right.
On something like that. So, hey, block them if you have to. It happens. It's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Anyways, hey, hit us up. Let us know what you think. Tell us what your thoughts are on Myles Garrett. Tell us what your thoughts are on that Thursday night game. That's right. There was a game sponsored by the UFC, it looked like.
Yeah.
So. It wasn't. So, anyhow, let us know. We'll be back with our next segment. I'm Jay Rivera with XNX Sports Radio, and I want to talk to you about EMP Music Studio, the new home of XNX Sports. EMP Music Studio is located in beautiful downtown Hartford, Connecticut, has everything you need to record your next music production. With the latest in production and editing equipment and top quality service, EMP Music Studio gets the job done right. Look them up on Facebook or send me a message to get connected with EMP Music Studio. It's impossible to Photoshop your whole life. All right, welcome back. Jake, let's run into these. Just got a few games let's run down. Let's talk about. Let's go Texans and the Ravens, man. What's your thoughts on this?
I'm excited for this game. Two dynamic quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, going to face off. I think Baltimore definitely has the edge in this game. You know, Will Fuller is questionable right now to play. I think that'll be a huge positive for Houston, obviously, if he could play, they'll have another deep threat besides DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
In the run game, obviously, the Ravens have a much better run game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they have a better defense as well, if you ask me. So I think the Ravens definitely have the edge, but I'm really excited. I think this is going to be a very close, contested game.
Yeah, so let me tell you. So the Ravens definitely have the edge on paper when you're looking. If you look at their running backs, check Ravens, right? If you're looking at the receivers, you got to check Houston there, yeah. Right? But not by too much because, you know.
How about quarterback?
So that's where we're going to go. So the X factor to me there is definitely going to be on the quarterbacks, right? Because, again, if you go to tight ends, check Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Baltimore has definitely the and even if you're going defense, check Baltimore.
Right.
Because Houston's defense is hurt, man.
I mean,
they're hurting. And we've seen
that. JJ Watt's down.
So, look. It's going to be a struggle for them. We already know that. But Deshaun Watson, you can't rule this guy
out. The guy is amazing.
The guy is beyond amazing. And Lamar Jackson is just as good, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But to me, I think Watson just has the edge just a little bit more over Jackson. Jackson is definitely the flavor of the month right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's exciting.
Especially coming off a win versus New England.
He's amazing. Right? He's exciting. He's like, oh, man. You know, mm-hmm. He's everything everybody, you know. Well, not everybody. Everybody thought he was going to be. But everything everybody thought he was going to be. But a lot of people. This is what he expected from himself and what his coaches expected.
This is what he was doing
him.
In college, and everyone's exactly. like, oh, no way you, can change, work here. You can't do in the NFL.
But you can. But see, here's the thing. This is in this era now,
yeah.
You definitely can. With the rules the way they are now, with defenses not being able to play as rough as they were before, this is the era for the running quarterback. This is the time right
now. But I'm telling you, man, one hit can change all that.
And guess what? That's for every position. We saw hits drop down receivers yesterday. We saw hits in every position.
I'm telling
position.
You, man, quarterbacks are 100 pounds less than the guys tackling them.
Yeah, no doubt. So are wide receivers sometimes, you know, if they're taking a jet sweep across, you know, across the formations the way they're doing now
mm-hmm.
and getting met by a defensive end, that's not going to be pretty,
but
you know.
We haven't really seen running quarterbacks last in the NFL.
And you don't, but the more and more they're coming out, it's not going to really matter.
I mean, I really wouldn't consider Deshaun Watson a running quarterback.
He can move, though.
He can move, but it's not his first instinct like it is for Lamar.
No, right.
They don't have design plays all the time.
No, right, absolutely. Now, I don't know if that's what Lamar ends up staying as. If that's what he is right now.
His passing's definitely improved, though.
Exactly. So. As his career progresses, you know, things will get better for him, I think. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's going to open up for him.
Right.
But when you have that dynamic, you have to use it. You have to use it.
I agree.
I still give Watson the edge because of the passing attack.
Yes.
Because he's able to. Watson can run. He can move. He's not a slow guy either.
But he did get hurt last year. He did have a knee injury.
He did. He looks to pass first.
Exactly my point. That's what I'm saying.
So there is that difference. But this is in this league now, the running quarterback can survive longer than they used to back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. Their lifespan is longer than what it once was.
Mm.
So his success can definitely carry forward and last a lot longer than what those in the past used to be able to. So, but it's going to be an exciting game, man. I do expect big things from both of these guys. These young men are just amazing in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see. Watson.
He's got a high ceiling, man. He's got a real high ceiling. His floor is not that low.
No.
His floor is not that low.
He can definitely move around and make plays. You know, he moves the pocket along with him. He can just extend the plays, the life of the plays. And that's what he does when he runs. When he's moving, he's not moving to try to move forward and gain yards at all times. He's moving to extend the plays and allow the receivers to open up a little bit more. Lamar Jackson, when he goes to take off, he's going to take off, and he's moving. He's moving to make a play and move, you know,
this is,
in a forward direction.
This is a battle between the number two and number three ranked quarterbacks in fantasy football.
Absolutely.
So I expect a lot of action here.
No, I do too.
What's your prediction right now? Game prediction. What do you think?
Under
or over 45?
Oh, it's going to be over.
Got to be
over. It's
got
to be over.
Yeah.
You know, like I was just about to say, I mean, Watson can definitely go for 300 plus easy,
mm-hmm.
three touchdowns and a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, without even blinking an eye. And Lamar Jackson can, you know, go for two and two.
Right.
Two passing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns just by himself as
and
well.
And probably 100 yards on the ground is not out of the question because he's done it several times.
Absolutely. He's absolutely. He's done it, what, two or three times already.
Yeah.
With that being said, this is in Baltimore.
Yep.
I think you got to give the edge to Baltimore. I agree. I do. I think Watson puts up a hell of a fight, and they battle to the end. I don't see this being a blowout. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens pull off the win.
I agree.
So that's my thought there. Next game, the New Orleans Saints against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So this is a rematch. I think they played, what was it, week...
Week five.
Saints took that game 31-21.
Yep. Drew Brees.
No Drew Brees, right. So Drew Brees is back. But the Tampa Bay's been playing some decent ball.
Yep.
I do think this is going to be a closer game this time. But I do think the Saints are going to win on the road. I'm expecting big game, obviously, from Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, because Michael Thomas does it every week.
Right.
You know, right. Can't guard Mike.
No, you can't. Michael Thomas is amazing. But here's the other thing, though. On the other side of the ball there, you got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And these guys absolutely killing it. Evans is number two in PPR. Godwin's ranked three in PPR. Two top five receivers.
When was the last time we've seen this?
This is just...
On the same team.
This is what I'm saying. If Winston just didn't throw a pick, and if he could limit the amount of picks he threw this year, he's a top 10, he's a top 12 quarterback right now in our league, 16 overall. But he just throws way too much. But he's throwing the ball all over the place. I mean, that's all he's doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And
he's averaged about 45 attempts a game, you know. But I mean, yeah, the interception number is crazy. So yeah. He's definitely got to limit the multiple interception games. He's got to give him 5 picks.
That's right. Yeah, you know, that's his issue. Yeah. But listen, Godwin and Evans are killing it. So yeah, you got Thomas on one side of the ball, who's number one overall.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you got two others. So you got three top five receivers in this game.
Yeah.
We saw the Saints defense struggle. Actually, we saw the Saints offense struggle.
As well,
which
yeah.
Which is even worse. I don't see that happening again.
I mean, okay? Especially against a divisional game where you have tons of film. You play them twice a year. You basically know what they're going to do.
You know, Drew Brees is a professional. This team is not a team that's going to lose two in a row.
Right.
Okay. They learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You rarely see them make the same mistake twice. So, you know, they're going to turn it right around this week. And I expect this to be a shootout. I do, because we already know that Winston and those two guys are going to just air it all out.
Right.
What
do you expect from Kamara?
See, I don't know. My issue with Kamara right now is, granted...
Because, I mean, Latavius Murray dropped completely. They're barely using him.
Here's the thing. Look, last week was ugly.
Yeah.
So they came out the bye, and it just was ugly altogether.
Yeah.
So neither one of, you know...
Well, playing from behind, obviously, they're not going to run the ball
exactly.
A lot.
You're not.
But he's usually big in the receiving game, where it's probably where he got most of his yards anyway.
Where he was recently, and that's because Kamara was absent too, though, right?
Not last week.
No. I'm talking previously.
Oh, previously.
Prior to that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So, but with them being both in the game, I believe, and if they establish the right cadence in the very beginning...
Mm. And if they're playing from ahead, that Kamara,
yeah,
you know.
No, they're both going to have, you know, they're going to have their fair share. Mm. And if they do get far, if they do end up taking the lead and start, you know, running away this, you're going to see a heavy dose of Latavius Murray in the fourth quarter.
Mm.
And they're just going to pound that tired Tampa Bay defense with Murray. Because why not? The dude's a beast, first of all.
I mean, Kamara's projected 20 points. I think that's a little high, but...
I think it's high too. It might be more around 14. I honestly think maybe Murray might get it around, you know, 12 or 13 himself. So it's going to be a little bit more even than.
Who gets more points, Rojo or Kamara?
I think they're going to depend on Rojo more, you know, if they're going to be trying to shoot. So he can. And there's a report of him being more involved in the passing game now, they're talking about.
Well, based off the last game, I guess he had 8 receptions, is big. But,
you know, and if he takes advantage of those opportunities, he's definitely. When you're playing from behind, you're gonna get those.
It's a nice to have a check down and catch the ball. But I mean, every game before that, his max reception was 2. So I'd have to see another game to see the trend really working on that.
Yeah, I still think Kamara will get more than he would.
Agreed.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think the Saints defense is a little better than 2.
Saints defense is again. They have a wake up call. They're gonna have to really step up and play this week.
And I think they will.
I think they laid an egg. And I think they're embarrassed about it, and they're going to come out and turn things around. But Evans is you know, projected 18, almost 19. Godwin's projected 16, almost 17. You know, so that's just craziness.
Big numbers.
Craziness. Let's jump along. Let's move along here. Pats and the Eagles, man. Rematch of Super Bowl, what's that, 52? Mm-hmm. I think it was 52, right? Carson Wentz is in this game. He wasn't able to play the first time. I'll tell you what. So the Eagles just signed Jay Ajayi, right? I don't know what that means. Okay, I don't know if he plays this week or not. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
But Sproles is hurt.
Sproles is hurt.
He might be. That might be the end of his career, they're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, they've really only been going with Sanders and Howard as
right, goals. Right. No, right. And look, I like Sanders.
Me too. But Sproles really didn't have a big part of the
offense. Didn't have a big part, you know, but he's always an X factor that every once in a while. Okay. Right. But so they pick up Ajayi. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know what kind of action they're going to get. But you know what? The Eagles can win this game.
I think so too.
Okay.
Well, their defense is actually pretty good this year.
It's a solid defense. And here's the thing. Looking at the Patriots, they rely more on Tom Brady than people think about it. They're not. Look at that running game. Their run game only averages 3.3 yards a carry. If you shut that down and basically make them one-dimensional, you got yourself a game. You can beat Tom Brady that way. We've seen it before.
I'm actually surprised. I looked at his number, Tom Brady's numbers. I really did not expect to see every game with about 40-45 attempts.
Yeah.
Like that.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's my point. You know, that run game is really non-existent. And I think, you know, the Philly secondary is a little better than what some people think. That defense is pretty solid. Now, granted, everybody's been talking about the Patriots defense and, you know, they've been doing phenomenal things. But it's in their takeaways. If they can avoid the turnovers, if the Eagles really avoid the turnovers here, I'm calling an upset. I'm calling the Eagles to win this game 24-17. You know, that's my take on this. I think they can turn this around. You know, Carson Wentz, I like the kid. You know, he's definitely got what it takes to move the team forward and win the game.
I think I'm going to disagree with you. So the Patriots defense lights out. Mm-hmm. We know that. We know they're the best defense in the league right now. You got any fight on that?
Well, I mean,
I think San Fran's number two, but I think the New England defense is number one.
Again, and they are based on they get the turnovers, man. They're ridiculous on the turnovers.
Right.
But you know what? That's not to me. It's not going to last all year. Like that's. I think things are going to start to bounce out.
But I don't think the Eagles are that good of a team offensively. So Chicago, they lost that game, right?
Right. Right.
Okay, Buffalo. They beat them.
Right.
Okay.
So, I hear what you're saying.
The Jets, they almost beat them. You know, they're struggling against teams that are not very talented.
I hear what you're saying.
And so, yes, I do think they're going to play up to the occasion of the Patriots, the talent-wise, but I just don't see them beating the Patriots.
Yeah, well, and so, again, I think the Patriots, they rode on those curtails of that defense for quite some time now.
Yeah.
All right, there was a point in the season where we were like, listen, if the Patriots didn't even take if the offense didn't take the field, they would still be 3-3-1, right? Yeah. This was back in like week 7 or whatever it was. That speaks a lot about their offense, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He's still getting 46 attempts a game, so it's not like he's not on the field.
Right, but if you're telling me that if you didn't even take the field, your defense totally carried you. They're not lighting up defenses.
No.
This offense isn't out there being explosive and crazy. This defense is definitely stepped up. Yes, they're opportunistic. They short fields, and I get it. And that's what you want. I don't think that's going to continue to happen. If the Eagles can play clean football, if they can click, and that's the big if. I get it. But if they can play clean football, if they can step up and really rise to this occasion and play clean football, not turn the ball over, because that's where the Patriots get you. You turn the ball over, you're done.
But look at this. So, yeah, the Patriots defense is amazing, but they've only really played, what, three teams that are over 500 right now?
Again, yeah. So you look at their schedule and look who they've been playing.
Like Pittsburgh, you know, I mean,
Pittsburgh fell apart from the very beginning.
Their offense is pretty bad.
Right. They fell apart from the very beginning.
Buffalo, good team.
Decent team, right? I think that was the first test we really thought. And they played them hard.
And they did. They scored under 20 points, both teams. And then,
exactly.
And then Baltimore. So
that's what I'm saying. So when this offense isn't an offense that's going to be able to light up the scoreboard.
No.
And they got to depend on Brady because that running game, again, you're averaging 3.3 yards a carry. You're not really doing much.
But I mean, right? If the defense gets them a lot of possessions. So I think they're going to rely on the punts and the turnovers, which I think that they're safe this game because Carson Wentz really fell off.
I don't know if he's really fell off. All right.
All right. Let me rephrase. You know, he's not playing up to the expectations of, you know, people thought that he would.
Right. So, but I still think there's a lot that, you know, builds into that. You know, you lose D-Jax early. I think he was a huge part of this, you know, the scheme of the offense and stuff like that. You know, Aguilar caught the ball, didn't catch the ball, caught the ball. You get guys who really, people have to play their part. Mm. You know, when you get as many drops as they have,
yeah,
that's a problem. Okay, I think their running game is a little bit more solid, and starting to become a little bit more solid.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're able to play that game, that possession game, and just play a clean football game, it doesn't have to be something, you know, fancy. We're not talking about throwing for 300 yards and, you know, rushing.
But I think they're going to have to score a lot of points to beat the Patriots, and I just don't think, I'm not confident in the Eagles' offense to score points. Like Carson Wentz, he's throwing a touchdown every game, but I mean, he doesn't throw for more than 250 yards. So
right.
It's tough. Well, it's tough. So he's careful with the ball. He doesn't really throw a lot of picks either. It's they just they struggle. They struggle offensively. They punt a lot.
I have. We'll see. We'll see what this what this turns into. We can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. Cardinals 49ers, man. Let's jump into this one. Another rematch from a couple weeks ago. The Thursday night football, which was in Arizona. I think this one's in San Francisco now.
Yep.
Arizona really stepped up in that game and should have won that game.
I think so, too.
Okay, they should have won that game. But now they're in San Francisco.
As we said, Kittle's out, who had a huge part of that game. Absolutely. Emmanuel Sanders, questionable, might not even play.
Right.
Who was also a huge part of that game.
The running game is depleted as well, too. I mean, Breida's, you know, injured.
Yep.
You know, so there's definitely some questions on offense. And then which Garoppolo do you get? You know, do you get the one who can manage the game and take care of the ball and protect the ball? You get the one that's going to, you know, fumble and throw interceptions because he's been having an issue with ball security.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the one thing that we have to kind of figure out what's going to happen there. Arizona's fast, and we know that. San Francisco's defense is fast, and they're, you know, they're solid as well. And it's going to be a challenge for them to be able to do it.
But we saw the Cardinals really exposed them, though, when they did. Played. You know,
Drake came out. That's the game that Drake's first game as a 49er, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sorry, as a Cardinal.
As a Cardinal, yeah.
Against the Niners there. They got Drake projected 10.5. Over, under?
I'm going to go over.
I think so.
Because, you know, he's a fast back, and he's very good at catching the ball.
Yep,
that's so what, exactly. In a PPR league, I think it's easily over 10.
Yeah, I believe I feel the same way too.
I'm probably thinking 15 to 17.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I think he's going to get in the end zone.
Oh, I believe so. I believe he will too.
Because he's kind of taken over the number one spot over David Johnson.
Yeah, you know what, David Johnson. I think I'm done with David Johnson. Mm. You know, he's. Again, it's not one who can stay healthy either. It's time to.
And he's been out. Yeah. Look at his numbers. He just really hasn't been good. He's been, yes, I get he's been injured, but I mean, since Drake's been back, last week he's only on 43% of the snaps.
So right.
And negative 1 point. It's a Kenyon Drake show.
Yeah, it's got to be the Drake show. Yeah, and then there's Christian Kirk. Didn't do too much against the Niners the first time.
No.
Really had a game last week.
In Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Really showed out last week, which I think was pretty amazing. So see if he steps up again and see how this whole thing works out, you know, for the Cardinals. But he's projected about 12.7. I'd say maybe 13, 14 points there as well too. You know, all depending on the catches there. So
right,
we'll see how that goes. Let's wrap this one up with Chiefs at the Chargers. So that's the Monday night game.
That's the Monday night game.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. So this is going to be an interesting game. The Chiefs, they're 6-4 right now. All right, they've kind of been struggling a little bit. Yeah. Not as dynamic as they were.
Not offensively. I think the struggle's on the defense.
Right. No, definitely on the defense. The defense is definitely, you can score on them, right? But they've been finding ways to, teams have been finding ways to slow this offense down just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's all you kind of need to do is, because if they can't stop you and you can score when you want to, then, you know, you have a chance. Now, with that being said, though, I mean, the Chargers are the Chargers, and they've had their own issues and stuff. But, you know, they are playing at home, but this home doesn't really seem to be a home for them either, right? Because you get the fans from everyone else coming out. So that's kind of an embarrassment for them. Mm. Let's see who turns up for Monday night for them. But the Chargers at 4-6, I don't know what they really got to play for at this point in the season. If they have self-pride, if they have self-worth, they're going to come out here and play.
This is a division game, so they're definitely going to bring it.
No, it is a division game, okay? And this has got to be, you got to dig deep to want to stay in this game and play in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Chargers have the pieces to do it. Melvin Gordon's been running the ball, okay? He's been solid with that. He's been able to take care of the rock that way. I think, you know, they can definitely run on this defense. Phillip Rivers, if he can kind of get his groove back.
He needs to be a lot better.
Yeah, if he can get his groove back a little bit, him and Allen can have a big day as well against this defense. So I think, you know, and they got Hunter Henry as well. They have the weapons. They have the weapons. They can expose this defense. I don't know. Me personally, all right, if I'm thinking selfishly, again, you know I'm a Raiders fan. I want the Chiefs to lose.
Right.
All right, Raiders have an opportunity to beat the Bengals, and then they fall into a first place tie. Well, not really a tie because, you know, the Chiefs have that one game on them, but still, they'll be 6-5 apiece, and, you know, we'll see how that goes moving forward. But I think the Chiefs pull this off. It's not going to be an easy one, but I think they pull this game off.
I think Mahomes is too good, man. And I don't think the Chargers' offense is good enough. If there's no defense in this game at all, I think Pat Mahomes has no problem
scoring. I think the Chargers' defense is better than the Chiefs' defense, though. That's the thing. You know, Nick.
You think Bosa anybody holds up?
Like I was saying, they don't necessarily need to stop the Chiefs. They just need to slow them down.
If they can block half the attempts going to Tyreek Hill, if
they can slow them down just a bit. The Chargers do have the weapons to score. You know, Allen, Henry, Gordon, Eckler, and Rivers. You put those you take those five players and put them on any decent team with a decent strategy, you're going to win. All right, those are players. Those guys can play in any team.
Yeah.
You know, so that's five. They have five playmakers. Mm-hmm. They can definitely, if they can get in the rhythm and figure this out, they can expose this defense. That's my point. But it's going to take, it has to be 100% effort. Like, it literally has to be just like, you know, a perfect game. And they all they got to do is just stop the Chiefs a few times. If they can get themselves a few stops, they may have the opportunity to win this game. So we'll see how that goes. But those are the games we touched on. There's some other games out this weekend, like, you know, Chicago Rams, Cincinnati, Oakland, Jets, Washington, Denver's at Miami, Denver's at Minnesota, Buffalo's at Miami, and Jacksonville's at Indy, Dallas is at Detroit, Atlanta's at Carolina. So if those are your teams and you got anything riding on them, good luck to you. We'll see how everything goes for you on this weekend. Give us a few minutes here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Sits and Starts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks for sticking with us. We're moving into our next segment. This is the Start 'Em or Sit 'Em. All right, first one on the list. What do you think about Phillip Lindsay playing against a Minnesota defense in Minnesota?
I don't see much happening. So I think you have to start him because what else have they really got going on? They have to run the ball, right? They really don't got much else going on with Denver. If you had somebody else, you know,
I saw a stat. He's like the number two running back who has the most carries within 5 yards of the end zone. Can they get within 5 yards of the end zone? The backup quarterback against a defense like Minnesota? Yeah, probably not.
I think this is gonna be a struggle for them. I think it's gonna be a struggle. I think this is gonna be an ugly game for Lindsay, for Lindsay, you know, owners. I don't start him. I'd sit him. I'd look for someone else, another, you know. He's projected about 11 points this weekend against Minnesota. I don't even think he gets that. So I feel you got to sit him. You got to look for someone else.
But, I mean, where else is the ball going to go? I think he's a playmaker. I don't have a lot of confidence in their backup quarterback. So I think he's probably going to get a lot of volume, but you're right. I don't see a lot of production.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Because I tell you what, I get it. Who else is going to run the ball? But we saw Minnesota shut down Ezekiel Elliott the other week. Who else is going to run the ball for Dallas, you know, if not Zeke? Zeke was held to 47 yards.
Good point.
He had, you know, not even 10 points fantasy. So, you know, if Zeke is struggling and that offensive line is struggling to move the ball against that defense, I don't give Lindsay a chance. So, to me, it's got to be a sit.
Agreed. 100%. All right, next on the list, we got Patriots running back Sonny Michel at Philadelphia. Your take?
It's kind of an oxymoron, Patriots and running back in the same sentence. I don't think there's been a real Patriots running back since Corey Dillon, a true running back at least then. But anyhow, this is tough, right? Because I mentioned this earlier, you know, the Patriots running game is really almost, they're averaging 3.3 yards a carry as a whole as a running team. This whole, running back by committee has, I think, taken a life of its own there in New England where it's just too much. There's too many bodies to feed, too many mouths to feed there, I guess. And with New England, you just never know.
You never know.
You know, I mean, for all we know, Bolden can step in and get four touchdowns and get something.
Exactly.
Like that's the kind of just
ridiculous. Or Rex Burkhead will be the featured back and get 20.7.
You just don't know when it comes to that. So it's hard for me to trust any New England running back. Unfortunately, he's only projected, you know, 9.9 points. Awesome. Not even 10 points. You got to sit him to me. It's just not enough for me to warrant a start.
I agree. Philly's run defense is pretty good.
Right.
They got a couple big men up on the D-line. I don't see him getting a lot of yards. I do think he'll probably get a touchdown because he's used very heavily on the goal line.
He is.
But, you know, touchdown, 6 points, 30 yards. I think 9 is probably about right.
Yeah.
Next, so we know Kenyon Drake had a huge day at San Francisco. They're playing a rematch. They're playing in San Francisco this time, rather. What do you think? Think you start him?
I do. I start Drake. I like Drake.
As a running back too or a flex option?
No, actually, I start him as an RB too. I think he's going to get opportunity out of the backfield, you know, to catch the ball. I think when the 49ers saw Drake the first time, they just kind of didn't really have an answer for him, right? Mm. They kind of looked like, you know, and I get it. It was a Thursday night game at that point too, so you're coming off of
Drake was with the team less than 72 hours.
I'm telling you, that's what I was going to counter with.
It's
not
like they play the Dolphins all the time. Right. So they really don't have film on them. And
what Drake was involved in was very vanilla, plain Jane plays too. It wasn't like it was anything that dynamic. So with that being said, he's got a little bit more understanding of the playbook. A few weeks in there now. I think he definitely steps up into a bigger role now. I don't have faith in Johnson anymore. I think Drake, you know, I start him. I do. Agreed. I start him. I think his ceiling is really, really high, regardless of him playing against the 49ers. We saw him expose them before. It's still the same defense. They're still playing the same guys. And granted, you are in San Francisco now. But listen, this Cardinals offense, man, they're giving teams a run for their money. You know, they're 3-6-1, but they're just about in every game. And I could be wrong. I got to look at all their games and everything, but I don't think they've been blown out, you know, by a heavy margin.
They score a lot of points, so, right. You know.
Right. So, but it's definitely a start.
Agreed, 100%. Next up, we got Jared Goff at Chicago.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
Jared Goff has looked horrible. I mean, just the Rams itself, right? That offense just, they're a shell of what they used to be. My faith in Goff I dropped him. I got rid of him a long time ago. He was I actually drafted him. You know, Chicago's defense, they really haven't been stepping
up
either.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You know, they really haven't really been stepping up either. They got a lot of things to kind of take care of over there as well. They're playing in Los Angeles. Chicago has to travel to the West Coast. It's a Sunday night game. If you had to, I'd play Goff. If Aaron Rodgers or, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, is one of your guys and you got Goff there, yeah, I'd play him.
I think I'm going to start Goff this year.
Yeah?
This week, rather.
Yeah.
I think he's due for a big game. I really
he do. Is. Cooper Kupp's not going to stay silent every week. You know,
Kupp didn't even get a reception last week. And I think this week it's going to be different.
That's not going to happen every week. So, but I'd play him. Yeah, I do. I'd start him.
Okay. Good. Glad we agreed on that one. next up, we got Galladay playing the Dallas Cowboys.
So look,
without Matt Stafford.
Yeah, without Matt Stafford, Galladay against the Cowboys. It's a shaky start against Chicago. He got himself 17 points. I don't know if he gets 17 points again, but I think he started. I think he wants to start. You know, he's going to get you 14, 15 maybe. You know what I mean? I'd take a start on that.
I think I'd have to sit him. Dallas defense is pretty good, and I think they're going to give them, you know, a lot to look at. I think they're going to mess some schemes, and they know they're dealing with an inexperienced quarterback.
Right.
I think Dallas is going to take advantage of that, and I think they're going to bring a lot of pressure and make them turn the ball over. So I'm going to sit them.
Yeah, I mean they're going to get their turnovers. I still think they're going to get their turnovers, but
I like Marvin Jones. Lions are pretty dynamic at receivers.
They are, but
Galladay's the number one guy for sure. But I think I'm going to sit him. I just don't see a lot of production coming from that quarterback, and I don't trust him.
Yeah. All right. Agree or disagree?
Tough one. Yeah. All right. Next, we got Zach Ertz are playing New England in Philadelphia.
Yeah. You got so Ertz, you start. And you start because, again, you know, who else is really going to throw the ball to? There's definitely going to be targets to him.
Especially with Jeffries off the their big guy possession receiver, so I think that definitely opens up
this
a lot.
This opens up,
especially
huge,
in the goal line, because
huge for him.
So now he's the biggest body on that offense.
Absolutely.
Right now. So,
you got to go for him. He's coming off a big game against Chicago.
Yeah, huge.
Okay, you know there's confidence in him there. You definitely have to take advantage of that confidence. So I start. He's a start for me.
100% start for me. And you know he's, if he's on your team, he's probably the number one tight end on your team. So, right.
He's ready, dude.
I think you start him over a waiver wire pickup or a
number No, he's got to be your tight end. He's got to be your starting tight end.
I get it's a tough matchup, but you got to take a chance.
No, you definitely do. You can't sit him down.
All right. Next up, Brian Hill playing Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hill. He's projected about 14, 15 points. If Atlanta all of a sudden decided to turn around and start playing defense the way they did against the Saints, this can really turn into an interesting season for them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what happens, though, but you know, you can't put it past them after showing out what they did and shutting down this offense. They didn't even score a touchdown. The Saints didn't even score a touchdown, right? I think it's 9 points.
Right, 9 points.
With that being said, if they hold McCaffrey at bay, which no one's been able to do, but neither has, you know, they kind of hold him at bay and just kind of let him do a thing and stop everybody else. I think they have a chance to stay in the game where they can keep running the ball. And right. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to in the long-winded sentence here. The only way that he's going to be relevant and be worth the start is if they're going to be able to stay in this game and run the ball the way they should be running the ball.
Right.
To kind of control the clock and that kind of stuff.
Exactly right. And now that's why I'd say sit him. Because one, the only game we have of him is when they won. So they were playing ahead. He got 20 carries, and he did pretty well. But like I said, like you said, I don't think they're going to stop Christian McCaffrey. I do think the Panthers are going to dominate in time of possession because they just run the ball.
They can run the ball
every play. And I think the Falcons are going to be playing from behind. So I think they'd be going a lot through the air.
But I don't know if they – I don't know. Because the Panthers ain't blowing anybody out. All right, they're not going to be blowing people out.
I think they're going to blow out the Falcons.
Yeah. Well, we thought that about the Saints too.
True.
All right, so the Falcons, listen, they got a little bit of confidence in themselves. You can't a game like that, you can't really push it aside and just, you know, brush it off. There's some confidence in it. Like, hey, you know, they just beat the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to I don't know what's in that locker room, what's being said and how they're feeling and things like that, but you know, they're 2-7 at this point. You just beat the Saints. Does this turn things around? We've seen crazier things happen.
But do you think the Falcons rely on the running game?
I don't think they rely on the running game.
I think they just hand it off just to throw the defense, just to say, hey, we do run the ball occasionally.
Yeah, but you have to respect it. If he comes, Brian Hill's a pretty
I think they could do that with Freeman. Yeah, you have to respect the run because he's proven that he could be really good. This guy, I mean, I don't know. If they're down.
When you underestimate somebody, that's when they turn around and punch you in the mouth.
Right, but Matt Ryan has no problem dropping back 45 times a game.
Absolutely.
Because he throws for 300 yards a game.
Easily.
Right.
Easily, without a question. But I just don't know. I mean, I think you start him. I think, if anything, he warrants a flex.
I mean, they're not going to rely on him, which, you know, so I disagree. I think you sit him.
Yeah, I think he warrants a flex. I think you got to give him the opportunity there. You know,
one game? I don't know.
Why not?
The game that they were up 20 points? I just don't think you start.
Seen crazier things happen.
You're right. I'll agree with that. I think you see him.
What else you got?
All right, we got Stephon Diggs playing the Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Going back over
there. That's another tough matchup there.
I think so. You got to play Diggs with Thielen out. You got to give Diggs a nod. He's due for another big game. Just too much firepower on Minnesota right now. Denver's in no position to try to. They're not going to be able to keep up with this team.
Mm.
So it's going to be Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs. They're going to terrorize his defense. And then as far as touchdowns goes, listen, I think he's going to be solid. You know, inside the 20s, he's going to tear it up inside the 20s. He might get a touchdown, but the touchdowns are going to go to Dalvin Cook into. Kyle Rudolph, you know, that's how that's going to work out. He can get it. You know, Diggs will definitely get you 150 yards easily, I believe, up and down the field.
But the red zone belongs to Rudolph and Cook.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
So I agree. Start for sure.
Yep, for sure.
All right. So Nick Foles at Indianapolis. What do you think about that?
Man. All right. I'll sit him. I'm going to sit him.
100%.
I'm going to sit him. I agree. Yeah.
First game back, is the chemistry there with the receivers?
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm expecting a little rust to be on him. I'm thinking some timing issues. I'm just not sold. And honestly, if I was Jacksonville, I'd stick with Minshew because he's been playing. Right. He hasn't been playing like he has been in the beginning of the season. But, I mean, he's got the timing with the receivers. I think he's just, you're better off with the guy who's been who's been playing.
Man, you young guys, I always want to stick up for you young guys, I tell you.
Listen, guys coming off an injury.
Look, Nick Foles is the starter. They brought him in there to be the starter. Yeah, Minshew kind of went in there and kind of...
Yeah, they own the money, so I guess take a chance to start him. But
you start him. But as far as fantasy-wise, you know, so they had a week with the bye to kind of, you know, prep for things and see how he was going. If they're confident with him going, they'll start him. But I don't think... Fantasy-wise, you got to sit him. Give him a week and see what happens. But with that being said, it could be the week that he really explodes and does something, and that'll be the only one to get from him. So,
yeah,
he'd take a chance either way.
Yeah, of course. If you're sitting him, he's going to go off
for you. Yeah, sure.
All right, I agree, Sid. Demaryius Thomas at Washington. What do you think?
Demaryius Thomas at Washington. I like Thomas. I think he's been kind of getting more involved in the offense, getting a little bit more of the confidence from Darnold. Washington, we know, I mean, their defense really isn't anything to be worried about. Crowder and Thomas have definitely stepped up to be the two guys.
I think Crowder's number one.
No, he's absolutely number one. But there's enough, I believe, for Thomas to get a fair share. You start him in a flex. He's not one or two material. But if you need a flex and you're looking for 10 or 12 points, I say you go Thomas. He's going to get you that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. But I don't know. Washington's defense isn't terrible.
It's not terrible, but look, they're giving up points to the wide receivers too.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
Josh Norman washed up or what?
Who's that? Josh Norman washed up? Yeah. That guy's been washed up for years.
I haven't heard much from them this year.
Listen, that's DBs and secondary players. That's where they go to die, is in Washington.
Yeah, you're right. Right about that. But, you know.
So, yeah. I don't know. But anyhow.
All right. Last one. We're going to bring it back to San Fran in Arizona. So, we know San Fran's defense is number two overall. We saw what Arizona did to them last time they played. It got 3 fantasy points. They're home this time. Do you start the San Francisco defense this week?
It's hard not to start the San Francisco's defense, right? You know, because they get you games like 24, 17, 16, 11, 22, 29. But then they turn around and they give you 7, you know, 9.
3.
And 3 against the Arizona Cardinals. I'd be hesitant to start them because I think the Arizona Cardinals are really that dynamic. I really do. I like this team. It's crazy. I really wasn't high up on Murray in the beginning. But the more he's been able to play and the more, you know, I'm seeing him play. And then Drake. I like Drake. I do. I feel happy for him, you know. In a way, I'm just kind of like, man, he's got himself an opportunity to be the feature back here in an offense that's really fitting him, it looks like, too. So they really didn't have an answer from the first. And I get it. It was away and it was on a short week. So that does have an effect. People don't, you know, players don't get to rest and things like that as well, too. So I understand that part. Look, Murray's, he's hard to get a hold of. He's fast.
He doesn't make a lot of mistakes.
You know, he's cleaned up his game. So that's the thing. He's cleaned up his game. So, you know, they did sack him 3 times the first time they played. But listen, he, no fumbles.
The only 3 no points they got because they let up too many points.
Yeah, so... If Arizona continues to play clean the way they've been playing, man, I don't think you're getting more than 6 points out of the 49ers defense.
I'd search the waivers, man, and pick up Raiders defense or a Buffalo defense. Look, or anyone playing the Broncos. I'd probably pick up Minnesota.
Minnesota's defense, Oakland's defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Buffalo's defense.
Yeah.
They've been actually, Miami's kind of been showing out.
They're scaring teams, you know, a little bit.
Dallas's defense.
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe Chicago against Jared Goff.
Maybe Chicago. You know, you can go the other way around, too. So maybe the Rams defense against Chicago, too. So
I'd probably do that.
You know,
so I think there's options out there. I think I'd definitely look around, see what's available on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
I'd probably sit him if I couldn't find any of those teams we just mentioned on the waiver wire. Yeah. So I'm going to have to say sit San Fran
this week. Yeah, I'd sit San Fran this week, too. I just don't think the matchup isn't favorable to them at all. So,
yep.
Guys, listen, we ran long today on a Friday night. We hope everybody's enjoyed the show. Mm-hmm. We're going to end it here. Listen, it's been a pretty good week, an interesting week, and we got a good weekend of football coming up ahead. So
yeah.
I hope everybody had a good week and, you know, they're ready to rest for the weekend. Maybe do some Well, if you're in the Northeast, you know, some fall cleanup and stuff like that, some yard work, which I am so looking forward to doing.
Those leaves, man.
Oh, man, fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not up here and you're somewhere else and you don't got to deal with this, then, man, lucky you.
Yeah.
So, but thanks for listening to the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think. And look, man, enjoy the weekend and enjoy the games. We'll talk soon.
You are listening to X to Next Sports Radio.